One of the sailors who sailed with Christopher Columbus on his second voyage to the New World was a man named Ponce de Leon. That voyage changed his life. He decided to stay in Hispaniola when Columbus returned back home. Ponce became very popular, and he was named governor in 1508 of what is now called Puerto Rico. While there, he heard of the Fountain of Youth, a legendary spring that reputedly restores the youth of anyone who drinks of its waters. Ponce decided that he must find this water source. For the next few years, he tried to find out where the Fountain of Youth was located. He finally believed he knew where it was, and so he asked permission from Spain's King Charles V to go in search of it. The king agreed, as long as Ponce agreed to pay for the ships and crew. The young explorer did so readily. He and his crew, of course, failed to reach their goal. On the second attempt in 1521, he again failed to find the Fountain of Youth, but he did land on the Florida coast. While he and his men were building houses for a proposed settlement, they were attacked by native tribesmen. Many of his men died, but Ponce escaped, although he was injured. He boarded the ship and set sail again. He reached Cuba and entered a hospital where he died of wounds from the attack in Florida. Ponce de Leon never found the Fountain of Youth and lost his life in quest to gain life. If only he would have searched for the water springing up with everlasting life. Jesus said in John 4:14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." What is everlasting life? How do you know if you possess it? When one possesses this life that pertains to the future age and the realms of glory, he also possesses everlasting life here and now. This is life obtained at the point of salvation, when a person believes on Jesus Christ. The familiar text of the Bible, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The life of which John writes is of the eternal realm, and its source is God himself, and manifests itself in fellowship with God in Christ. Paul tells us of this life in John 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Think about it. As believers, the most precious gift by far is the life of God dwelling in us. At the point of conversion, the Creator of all life reaches down and places his life in our mortal body. It is by far the most valuable possession we could ever acquire. And so I ask myself, do I fully understand what it means to have God's life inside of me? When a person accepts Christ into his heart, he is born again spiritually. And the life of Christ dwells in him. Paul explains this concept in 2 Corinthians 4:10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. Again in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That is a truth we need to repeat over and over again. Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In John 8, referring to his eternal nature, Jesus was telling his listeners that he knew Abraham. This was too much for the Jews, who considered him no more than a mortal man. In verse 57 of John 8, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? He lived ages ago. What'd Jesus say? Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Why did Jesus say, I am? He was speaking of himself. And taking in its biblical perspective here, Jesus affirmed the eternity of his being. To illustrate, we could go back to Exodus 3, when God commissioned Moses to lead his people, the Jews, out of the land of Egypt. Moses inquired of God about what answer he could give to the Jews when they would ask, who sent him? God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. You see, God is eternal. He's not limited by time. He is in the past, present, and future. He encompasses and is the source of time, space, and matter. He is the great I am. And so throughout the book of John, Jesus repeatedly uses the phrase, I am, often with a material object or person to describe his nature. Tonight we're going to think on the topic, the I ams of Jesus. I'm thinking of at least 7 I ams in the book of John. How many of them can you remember this evening? With the group that's here, can you name all 7? Who would like to begin by saying one of the I ams of Jesus? I am the good shepherd, 4th one in the book of John.
I am the vine.
Correct. I am the vine, 7th one in the book of John. I am the true vine.
I am the bread of life.
I am the bread of life. 1st one.
I am the door.
Very good. I am the door. The 3rd one. We're getting there. Keep going. There's three together in that one. You're correct. Correct. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We need two more, if my count is correct.
I am the good shepherd.
Was that mentioned? Okay, I think that was mentioned. I am the resurrection and the life. Very good. We have one more.
Ye are the branches.
That's
I am the living water.
Keep going.
The light.
There we go. I am the light of the world. Let's consider these this evening. As I was meditating on these I Ams of Jesus, the following thought came to me. Does each title present a connection to the eternal nature of Jesus and the fact that in him is eternal life? It would be in keeping with the shorter title, I Am. I would like for us to page through the book of John tonight, pick out the seven I Ams of Jesus to see how they are related to life. There is enough in each of these, I'm sure, for a separate sermon. So I'm thinking it would take us approximately 3.5 hours to get through of all of them. But I encourage you to relax. I need to get up early tomorrow morning. Instead, I'd like to briefly point out the connection in each that Jesus makes to life, everlasting life, eternal life. The first one found in John 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Here we see the word life used in the title itself. I am the bread of life. Go down to verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. If we eat this bread, Jesus says we will live forever. Let's go to the second one. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Here again, we see the connection with life. When we follow Jesus, we will have the light of life. Additionally, in John 1, verses 4 and 5, the apostle said of Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. What is implied by Jesus' statement, I am the light of the world? In one sense, we could say that Christ occupies the same place in the spiritual realm as the Son occupies in the physical realm. Life on earth, as we know it, physical life, would cease immediately if the Son were suddenly hurled out of our solar system. It would leave the earth deprived of its light and heat. Likewise, there can be no spiritual life outside of Christ, who is light and life. The third use of I am, John chapter 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. A door presumes a within and a without. And those who have not entered by the door, meaning through Christ, are outside the sheepfold, or outside the realm of eternal life through the salvation experience. There is only one door, and it is not Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, Joseph Smith, Jim Jones, a rabbi, a preacher, or a priest. The dignity of being the door of the sheep belongs to Christ and Christ alone. Jesus gives a reason for his coming as the door to the sheep. What's the reason? That we might have life. In this I am, we again see the word life. Let's go to the fourth one, John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In calling himself the good shepherd, there are parallels in this title to Eastern shepherding customs. But Jesus primarily spoke of his own death, in which he would lay down his life for the sheep. He gave his life that we might have life. The fifth I am, John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. This is in the account of the death of Lazarus. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. John 11:26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Again, the word life is used in the title, in Jesus calling himself the resurrection and the life. Jesus, among other things, declared that he is the giver of life. He has the power to give physical life, and he did that in resurrecting Lazarus from the grave. He has the power to give life to the spiritually dead, and he does that to anyone who comes to him in faith believing. And he has the power to give life to those in the grave at the later resurrections. The resurrection of the just and the unjust. Let's go to number six. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, we see the word life in the title. Think about it. You probably will never find a more narrow statement than I am the way, the truth, and the life. Apart from believing in Christ and obeying his revealed will, there is no salvation. There is no eternal life. Multitudes of people today have trouble with that statement and are offended by it. Yet the truth will stand secure. It will not be altered by mortal man or a warped system of belief. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way to the Father. Let's look at the seventh one in John 15, starting at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Although the word life is not specifically used in this portion of Scripture, it is certainly implied. The vine is Christ, and the individual believers are the branches. Just as in a physical sense, a branch cannot live and bear fruit if not connected to the life-giving vine, so in a spiritual sense, we cannot live and bear fruit if we are not connected to the vine, Christ Jesus. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. The I ams of Jesus speak life, eternal life, everlasting life. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. When I was a boy, I remember being appalled at the ranting and raving of a heavyweight boxing champion named Cassius Clay. He later adopted the Muslim name Muhammad Ali. He proclaimed his strength, glory, and self-image by repeating the phrase, I am the greatest, over and over again. I remember hearing about the fight he had with Sonny Liston. His words were, I am the king of the world. I am the greatest. I'm Muhammad Ali. I shook up the world. I am the greatest. I'm king of the world. I'm Purdy. I'm king of the world. I'm 22 years old, and I ain't got a mark on my face. I'm Purdy. I easily survived 6 rounds with that ugly bear because I am the greatest. Today, Muhammad Ali has Parkinson's disease, and his mobility limitations make him dependent upon a caregiver. His earlier statements proclaimed his greatness, but his earthly glory was only temporary. His strength, agility, and youthful vigor are no longer. No longer is the title, I am the greatest, something he can claim. Jesus, on the other hand, proclaimed who he was, and it will never change. His statements were filled with selfless, agape love that radiated from each word. His divine and eternal nature described in his I ams demonstrate his desire to give life for the benefit of those who come to him. He selflessly gave his life that we might have life. Jesus gives, but we must respond in obedience in order to receive the benefit of eternal life. In John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Being the bread of life, he is both the giver and sustainer of spiritual life. Our response needs to be to come to him. In John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." As the light of the world, Jesus provides spiritual light, and we enjoy the life it provides. Our response is to follow him. In John 10:7, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Those who are in the fold are saved and receive abundant life." The reason for Christ's coming. Our response is to enter in. In John 10:14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." He gave his life for the sheep. Our response is to know him and to hear his voice. In John 11:25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Because of Jesus and his resurrection and his life, we too will be resurrected or called up to meet him in the air to be with him forever, experiencing eternal life. Our response is to believe in him. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus has shown us the way. He has given us the truth and the gift of eternal life. Our response is to come to the Father through him. In John 15:1, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. As the vine, he provides life to the branches, enabling us to bear fruit." Our response is to abide in him. The I ams of Jesus are all about selfless giving of life with the responsibility of a proper, obedient response on our part. An easy, only believe religion finds no place in the words of Jesus. We must come, follow, enter, know, hear, believe, and abide. The benefit is the most precious gift we could ever receive: everlasting life.